sense a plot to destroy the Jedi.
Welcome to A Conspiracy in the Force, the show where we examine parallel conspiracies in a galaxy far, far away, in a galaxy not so far away. Let's begin.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Conspiracy Kyle here with another episode of Conspiracy in the Force. Doing something a little bit different tonight, just doing a live episode by myself. We'll see how it goes. See how I can fill this time, and how it works out for everybody. So let me know if you're listening or watching. Let me know what you think. I want to thank everybody who is watching this either, you know, live or after the fact on Rockfin, YouTube, Twitter. I'll probably post some clips of it to Instagram as well, and then everybody who's listening on the podcast apps after the fact. I really appreciate everybody's support with, you know, what I've been doing with this show over the past, gosh, almost 2 years now. It's been a really fun journey for me to do this, and I really appreciate everybody's comments and feedback on it, people who have appreciated it, who've appreciated the parallels between Star Wars and our world, and even I've received a lot of good feedback as well about adding some biblical references too, which I've added in recently. So thank you to everybody out there who's reached out and has encouraged me on this channel, and I want to try to keep doing that. Try to be a positive source, while also trying to laugh at some of the ridiculousness that's happening in our world currently. There's a lot to talk about, obviously, in our real world. Obviously, the school shooting is the big topic of the day. More news is coming out about that. A lot of really frustrating and concerning things are coming out about what was happening outside of the school, how there was a lot of police, what have you, that weren't letting people in, that weren't doing anything to stop an active shooter that was in the building for a long period of time. So that's concerning and frustrating. Obviously, thoughts and prayers sincerely out to everybody that was affected by this, you know, regardless of what your thoughts are and what the true story is behind it. You know, the fact remains that, you know, people lost their lives, and people's lives are going to be impacted going forward. So, you know, definitely prayers and thoughts and, you know, God's blessings towards everybody affected in that tragedy. Just one thing we'll talk about in regards to that, which will kind of dovetail into Star Wars discussion, is, you know, well, two things. Obviously, the first one is the gun control aspect. I think everybody watching and listening to this type of content. Oh, hey, here's my big fat cat back here. Don't mind him. Everybody who watches the kind of content I do, other quote unquote conspiracy truth type people, know about all of the machinations and narratives that are pushed around gun control. It's pretty transparent anytime that an event happens that people will seize the opportunity to make a political statement out of it, trying to get rid of guns. And, you know, my thought on that is it's not a new thought. It's not an original thought. It's that, you know, sin has been around since the beginning of man. You know, Cain killed his brother Abel with a rock. You know, God didn't ban rocks. In the UK, they have guns banned, but you see people driving over crowds of people. You see people stabbing people with knives. It's not the method. It's just the fallen nature of this world. I mean, it's been a fallen nature ever since the beginning of time, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, after they committed that first sin. And then we've been living in the end times. You know, you can talk about Revelation, biblical prophecy, things like that, but truly we've been living in the end times ever since Jesus left this earthly realm for the first time. So there's a lot to be said about that. You know, gun control measures don't really affect people that buy things illegally. You know, gun control measures really disproportionately affect, you know, the 99.9% of gun owners that are responsible, that, you know, use safety, have guns in locked cabinets and things, keep them out of the reach of children, and, you know, go to shooting ranges and learn how to shoot and learn how to educate themselves and others on the correct way to use firearms. So, you know, the case should be made that, you know, should teachers in schools have firearms to protect themselves against this issue? You know, maybe that's one way. But, you know, unfortunately, we've sent all our government's money to Ukraine. So unfortunately, we don't have any more funds to help out with our safety of our children here. And, you know, another good point is that everybody's been talking about the safety of children. Meanwhile, people have been forcing children to wear masks for several years, since the beginning of this whole pandemic. People forcing kids to get vaccines that may or may not be harmful to them in the short term or long term. And just children's mental health, just the depression, anxiety, all kinds of stuff that have stemmed from this whole situation over the past few years is immeasurable at this point. So whenever anybody tells you they want to do things to protect children, you know, take a second look at that and look at long term of what they've really done to try to protect children, and you'll see that it's anything but. It's all for political gain. And, you know, we can say this on both sides of the aisle. So anyways, that's just my little diatribe real quick off the top about, you know, the school thing. But obviously, like I said, prayers to all those affected. Senseless tragedies are terrible, and, you know, legislation isn't going to fix it. So with that being said, let's get on to talking a little bit about Star Wars. We'll kind of go kind of a good and bad type thing. And I have I didn't have enough time to prepare stuff, but I have some interesting little clips I wanted to share from the Star Wars Celebration Convention that just kicked off today out in Anaheim, California. And the first thing I wanted to do was, you know, to show some of the lunacy about this celebration. You know, Anaheim, California, most of California, a lot of people have been leaving California in droves, you know, just due to the draconian methods that Newsom and the leadership out there have taken during the COVID, and just in regards to a whole host of things. You know, I don't have enough time to list out all the things they've done wrong or the hypocrisy they've shown. You know, all I know is, you know, I had two good friends that moved out to California. I live in Ohio. So I had two good friends that moved out to California about 10 years ago. And interestingly enough, last year, both of them moved back because they just couldn't take it anymore. It's too expensive to live out there. And with everything that's been going on, it's not really worth the battle. So they moved back here for, you know, obviously the politics too, right? Anybody living from the Ohio Midwest, you know, it has a conservative type mindset for the most part. So it's a completely different landscape out there. So, you know, speaking of that, I wanted to share my screen here, and let me see if this works. Here we go. Let me share my screen here and talk about just some of the crazy stuff going on out there. You know, first and foremost, I was looking into this yesterday, and, you know, what being California, I'm like, I'm sure they got to have some stupid mask or vax type stuff. And sure enough, that is exactly the case. Let me go to information here. Oh, health and safety. Okay, let's talk about health and safety requirements. So here you go. For one, and I don't know much about this app, but you need to, for easy access, download this Clear Health Pass, so all your health information is easily tracked by every agency that would like to access it. So here it is. So, you know, they're way behind the times. I mean, a lot of places like in Ohio, where we're fully open with everything. I mean, there hasn't been mask mandates or any kind of mandates for a long time. You know, we're not as free as probably somewhere like, you know, Texas or Florida, but we have a good amount of freedom here with it being a, you know, quote unquote red state. So, you know, a year or two ago, you would see some of this stuff for concerts and things like that, as far as, you know, you have to provide a negative test or you have to be fully vaccinated. You know, I went to, to the surprise of nobody, I went to the Genesis concert, you know, one of Phil Collins' last performances ever, last year in November. And we were worried about this whole thing. And sure enough, they said, no, none of it. You don't have to do any of it. And that's a, you know, a huge, you know, thousands and thousands of people auditorium. And so here we are in May of 2022. And here they're saying you still need to provide proof of full vaccination or a negative test. And, you know, the negative test, well, you know, what have you, it's not as bad, but still it's just obnoxious. But the thing that I hated the most is that, you know, you still have to wear a mask. Okay. So indoor, you have to wear an approved face covering at all times. Now, mind you, this is a Star Wars convention, so I'm sure a lot of people already have some type of mask, right? You know, I think if you're going to a Star Wars convention and you're not wearing like a Darth Vader helmet or like a Chewbacca mask, you know, hell, even a Jar Jar Binks mask, I mean, you're doing it right. But if you're going there with a fancy, trendy type face mask, that just makes me sick. It's over. I mean, they need to realize like COVID is over. It's done. But they're going to try to make it not go away. So, you know, a picture I wanted to share from this, I posted it to my Instagram earlier today. You know, this is a shot of, you know, the celebration live feed on YouTube. And I looked down to the crowd and I had to snap this picture because whenever you mix Star Wars in COVID, it's hilarious and ridiculous. So you have a nice assortment of characters here, right? You got an Imperial officer with the face mask. You got another Imperial officer here with the face mask. And then you got the Rebel pilot, full helmet with the face mask underneath the visor. Then you got this guy back here. He's like, I don't really care about any of those rules. I'm going to do whatever I want, which, you know, be like that guy. Be like that guy. So I had to poke fun at this, you know. So I had to say, you know, this is Red 5. I'm going in for my booster shot. Oh, so funny. Anyways, so the fact that this is still going on is absolutely ridiculous. And you know, as you watch or some of the videos or see some of the content, you know, it's even more ridiculous just because. And you see this in Broadway too. Remember, you know, Broadway a few weeks ago. There was a whole stink about, you know, a performer on stage was heckling somebody in the crowd saying, well, you're not wearing your mask appropriately, da da da. Meanwhile, none of the performers on stage have to wear a mask. So it's just the peons in the audience have to wear a mask. So very similar to this. I want to see if I can't pull up one of the YouTube videos. But like you see all the performers up on the stage not having to wear a mask, thousands of peons out in the crowd having to wear a mask. So the fact that this is still going on, like I said, is ludicrous and ridiculous. And will it ever change? Will it ever get better? You know, who's to say? But anyway, so I wanted to play a few little clips from this. So I'll play one real quick just on the ridiculousness of this. You know, so typically these Star Wars celebration events, they're hosted by, you know, like a celebrity or something, and they interview like, you know, Star Wars celebrities and whatnot. But it seems that now Star Wars has this like crew of like their media people, and you know, you can tell they're just the most woke type people. Like listen to this little clip here about you know, what's most important for fans coming to the convention. So check this out.
And it wouldn't be a Star Wars Celebration live stream if we didn't get you, the fans at home, involved with the show too. First things first, are you following all the official Star Wars social media handles? Andy, are you following?
Give it up for social media!
Yeah. Social media! All right.
Yeah, cool. You know, give it, you know, first things first, are you following all the social media channels? Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Thanks for bringing that up. We all really needed to follow the social media channels. Some more ridiculousness here. Let me share my screen again. I started looking through some of the panels. You know, there's a lot of great panels. I didn't get to pull clips down from from all of them. But, you know, there was a great panel that I have a clip from Ian McDiarmid, who plays the Emperor. There's a great panel with Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, the guys who are heading up the Mandalorian and Boba Fett series and that kind of stuff. And then the big one that everybody is buzzing about was, you know, the Obi-Wan Kenobi panel, which, you know, that new show is debuting tomorrow on Disney. And, you know, I'm not advocating for anybody to get Disney. Listen, I'll break it down for you. I'll have an episode coming out Monday, so you don't need to subscribe. But yeah, Hayden Christensen, who played Anakin in the prequels, and Obi-Wan, and Ewan McGregor, who played Obi-Wan in the prequels, come out on stage together, and it's really great seeing them together on screen again, and just doing interviews and things together. And much love to all the fans who've been talking about the prequels all these years and pushing love of the prequels. And you're really seeing that start to come back in full effect, you know, 20 years later. These things are very generational, where a movie comes out and it really doesn't become a cultural capstone sometimes until many years later. So if anybody has, you know, read my book or listened to the podcast, you know, I talk about the prequels all the time and how Palpatine is such an important figure, and how the story that unfolds in the prequels, while it didn't necessarily show as great on screen, I think, you know, I really understood what they were going for, what George was going for with the story. So, like I said, let me show you one more wild thing from Celebration. So, like I said, there's a bunch of different panels. So I was just looking through these earlier and I'm like, I wonder what different kind of panels and things are there. And, you know, a lot of them are like what you would expect, but some of them I was like, okay, this is getting way too woke for even my liking. Oh, here it is. So this happened this afternoon. So this panel from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time this afternoon, Pride Squadron presents We Are All the Republic, Exploring Queerness in the Star Wars Newest Era. Wow, that sounds great. We should really push more gay and lesbian and trans agendas on people. I love that. So what they're talking about here is the newest era. There's this new era that they're pushing, you know, content out, specifically in, you know, book form and comic book form, called the High Republic. So the High Republic takes place 100 or so years before the events of the prequels. So you're not seeing many familiar characters at all. I think you see some Yoda in there just because he's so old. But this new era, they're adding a lot of new strange characters in this. And, you know, one of them they mention here, Tarek and Saret. They're twins, but they're considered non-binary. So they're non-binary Jedi, which, you know, I've gone on diatribes about this before. I've posted a lot of stuff on my social media about this. And, you know, the fact that they are talking about sexuality and gender and things in Star Wars is kind of, especially with Jedi, is kind of ridiculous, because the Jedi aren't supposed to have those kind of romantic relationships. That's kind of frowned upon. So the fact that they're kind of shoehorning this stuff in is a little wild. So here, let's read this description here. So the High Republic Multimedia Project has introduced a wide variety of queer characters to the Star Wars universe, from Leox Gyasi and Ty Yorick to Tarek and Saret. There is a higher density of queer characters and firsts for representation in Star Wars in this series than any other Star Wars era. Wow, so that would just make it so much better than any other series because of the, you know, diversity, right? The inclusion. It has also explored what gender and sexual orientation do and don't mean within the context of the wider story, within the Jedi Order, and within the Star Wars universe as a whole. Join members of the Pride Squadron, the LGBTQ plus affinity group of the major Star Wars costume clubs for a discussion of queerness in the High Republic. That's awesome. I'm so happy that we're pushing this into Star Wars. I mean, think about it. in Star Wars, there's not even really many male and female relationships. It's very few and far between, right? Like you have Han and Leia, you have Padme and Anakin, you have whatever Kylo and Rey was. I don't really know what that whole thing was about. But you don't really have a whole lot of romance in Star Wars. And I think that was kind of intentional. So the fact that they're adding in sexual orientation, for one, I believe it just, you know, continues to push the downfall of society and inversion of cultural norms away from, you know, God's truth, like the truth of the Bible. So not only that, but it also just seems unnecessary. So anyways, that's something really cool that they're doing, you know, more queerness in Star Wars. That's what we really all asked for. And by the way, from what I've heard from some content creators, that those High Republic novels and books and stuff aren't really flying off the shelves. They're not really selling too great. So they're doing a lot of virtue signaling for not a lot of benefit, right? So they're costing the fan base because they're destroying the credibility of the Star Wars name and brand, but they're not getting a benefit out of it. And whether they care or not, that's, you know, to be determined. But anyway, so enough of the kind of silly garbage that's going on there. Let's talk about some of the other cool stuff from there. So I mentioned the prequels and Palpatine, and, you know, Ian McDiarmid, you know, God bless this guy. This guy's great. You know, he's 78 years old. You know, he played the Emperor back in Return of the Jedi. And this is something that blew my mind when I heard about it. So Return of the Jedi was filming 40 years ago. So the Emperor you see in Return of the Jedi, the actor, Ian McDiarmid, at that time was only 38 years old. I mean, I'm 37. So, you know, it just goes to show the amazing acting ability he had, and also the amazing costume and makeup work they did to make this look like an old guy. And I mean, he's 78 years old and he's still in great shape. And, you know, now he's been in every single one of the trilogies. I don't know why he was in the sequel trilogy still to this day, but that's a story for another day. But anyways, you know, one of the things I like to talk about is how Palpatine is really the true evil. He's really the true machination behind the scenes of this entire conflict throughout this entire series. And he kind of talks about that a little bit, about playing villain characters and kind of how the genesis of that came to be as a part of his career.
Well, I also have heard you say since childhood that you've always been interested in playing villains, that you think they're the most interesting characters.
Yeah.
Which I think that worked out pretty well for you.
Yes, I think that's right. I mean, in carrying on my young career, when our gang, you know, round the corner, when we used to play games, Robin Hood was a popular one. And I always wanted to play the baddie. And they said, well, it's the Sheriff of Nottingham. But I'd done my research. And I said, no, it's King John. He's even worse. So even in those days, you know, I was after the worst person in the world. I didn't know, of course, that I was going to be the worst person in the universe. I mean, to think I'm worse than Darth Vader, that's something, yeah. You know.
Yeah, very, very, very great point there. You know, we all talk about Darth Vader, like he's one of the most recognizable, awesome villains of all time. But at the end of the day, he's really just a useful idiot, you know, serving Palpatine's needs. You know, Palpatine is the King John, right? In that, if you use that Robin Hood scenario, and Darth Vader's just the Sheriff of Nottingham, just doing his dirty work. So, great clip there. There's probably a lot more to mine from that conversation. I actually did get to see Ian McDiarmid talk, gosh, it's probably 7 or 8 years ago, down at Disney World. They used to do these things called Star Wars Weekends, where they would, in the summer, they would have different Star Wars actors show up and, you know, do little interviews and things. So my wife and I, we got to see him do an interview, and he said some pretty funny stuff about becoming the Emperor, like how he came up with the voice of using the Emperor. And he said it really, he just tried to make himself sound like he was throwing up, like, because he has that really gravelly, guttural voice. He says he just tried to make himself sound like he was throwing up, like, yeah, good, good. And you can kind of see that if you try to do it yourself. I'm not going to do it because I'll probably hurt myself. But great stuff there. There's some clips I wasn't able to pull down because I ran out of time. But the Obi-Wan and Anakin panel about those actors talking about their new series. Really, really great stuff to mine there. But let me see. I have another clip here, and this is a short one. So Dave Filoni, who pretty much helmed the Clone Wars animated series directly with George Lucas about, starting 14 or so years ago. He's the guy who's been helping out, big Hollywood bigwig John Favreau on the Mandalorian series, and then obviously the Boba Fett series as well, to a lesser extent. But they both come on stage and talk about what it was like working on the Mandalorian, which I will say Mandalorian's great show, great character development, great sets, everything. It just feels like Star Wars, and it's like you get the sense that these guys get it, like they understand what it takes to make a Star Wars movie. So they come on stage and talk a little bit, and Dave, what I like about Dave is, like I said, Dave Filoni worked directly with George Lucas, so he knows what makes Star Wars. It's got that it factor. It's like, you know it when you see it, that it's truly Star Wars and not just generic sci-fi with a Star Wars label slapped on it. So here's Dave Filoni talking a little bit about that.
Involved. It's not just one person, because we know the only person it really was George, and he created this, and we get to play in it. And that is, like, I think the spirit of everything we should be doing is, he's hopefully looking over all of this and still guiding it, because he left us such a great galaxy to play in. And that's how I feel about it. So
it's a beautiful sandbox.
Yeah, paying homage to George Lucas, which I think a lot of creators in Star Wars recently do not pay homage to George as much as they should. They want to put their own stamp on it, to make it their own thing. Great to see them. Great to see them come out. And Dave Filoni, he's actually filming the series about Ahsoka, the character that was introduced in the Clone Wars, who was Anakin's Padawan. So he actually, flew out to this to do a few interviews, and then was flying back to continue directing that new series. So now let me see. I want to pull up something here. One of the big things happening now, and hey, I'm going to do a little tie-in here. Ready for my corny dad joke? I'm going to talk a little bit about the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series, and I'm going to pour a little bit of Obi-Wine Kenobi. How about that? Is that a great quote? Use that joke as you should, or don't. Because it's awful. So here, I'm gonna play the official trailer without any sound, just so we can kind of get the vibe of what they're going with here. Because like I said, that it's coming out tomorrow. So let's kind of play this in the background. I want to talk about it a little bit. So this takes place, basically in between Revenge of the Sith and where we see A New Hope start out. So in this, these Inquisitors, all these people in the black armor, they're hunting Jedi down. So they're trying to find if there's any Jedi that escaped the Order 66. And actually, let me go back a little bit slower, focus on a few things here. So this character, he's the Grand Inquisitor. He's basically, works for Vader. Like, he does Vader's handiwork. And then another character here that's going to be important as well. Her name is Reva. She's another one of these Inquisitors that are tasked with rooting out the Jedi from the galaxy if they happen to escape the Order 66 many years before. One thing I'll say, it may be, controversial, and it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with gender. So, for those who are just listening to the podcast, I'm showing the Obi-Wan trailer, and we're freezing on on Reva. You know, she's a, I don't think she's American, but she's a black actor, known for a lot of really great films, TV shows. There aren't, I don't know much about her. All I know is she's a very, very esteemed actor in her field. So she has this position of high authority within the Empire to help hunt down the Jedi. And, you know, it's not about skin color, but what I would say is that the vibe that I always got from the Empire is that they were very like male chauvinistic, very, you know, specious. So you only saw males in positions of authority with the Empire. You didn't see females, and you even didn't see any other alien species at all. It was very like, you know, Hitler, like brown hair, blue eyes type mentality. And that's kind of how I always thought that the Empire was. And, you know, maybe I'm mistaken. And if anybody, you know, has any more information about that, please let me know. I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but obviously nowadays that there's a lot more pushing for diversity in things in movies, which I think is a great thing. As long as it's not shoehorned in a way that doesn't work. So I'm gonna leave it up for to see what happens and how she plays her role in the series. From what I've seen so far, it looks like she's gonna be a great character. Just, you know, that's one thing about the Empire I'd always thought was that they didn't really trust females in positions of high power. You saw some of it in tie-in novels and things like that. But anyways, let's carry on here with this trailer. So this is one of my favorite parts of the trailer here. This is Obi-Wan Kenobi with binoculars on, looking out across the distance at the Lars homestead, you know, the famous Lars homestead we see in the original trilogy. And you see a young Luke Skywalker, you know, on top of the hut, pretending to be piloting something. And, you know, Obi-Wan is... he knows that his job in this era is to look after young Luke. And we're going to find out throughout this series that that's probably a really tall order for him to do. It's going to take him in probably a lot of directions that he wasn't really comfortable with doing. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, you see kind of a prepubescent Luke Skywalker here that he's watching over. So that's pretty interesting. The other thing you see here too is he has a confrontation here with Owen Lars. Excuse me, had to hack up a lung real quick. He has a conversation with Owen Lars, who is, you know, Luke's uncle, and he's like, you know, whenever this boy is old enough, I need to train him. And then Owen's like, yeah, like you trained his father, and that's like the mic drop, like boom, you just got burned, bro. You got burned bad. Like, because, yeah, in Obi-Wan's mind at this time, he probably did train Anakin terribly. He says at the very end there in Mustafar, you know, I failed you, because he couldn't save him. He couldn't save him from the dark side. So it's a really great point there. So you're going to see some kind of pushback against Obi-Wan. And even in the original movie, right, you hear Uncle Owen say, you know, that wizard's just a crazy old man. So, you know, years later, they still really haven't mended any fences. So I don't think you're going to see any resolution of their characters and how they interact with each other. I think he never understood Obi-Wan and wanted Luke to stay as far away as possible, you know, from falling down the same fate as his uncle. I'm sorry, from the same fate as his father. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. Now that I'm thinking about this, so Uncle Owen wanted to shelter Luke. He wanted to keep Luke on the family farm, to work on the farm, to stay out of trouble. You know, is that a better path? Is that a better path for somebody? You know, you think about in our world, you know, a lot of people, when you talk about schooling and education, have made the decision to homeschool their kids or to try to find a piece of land and just make their own life and make their own path without worrying about all these crazy grand schemes of the world and the government manipulation and, you know, living in the big city, all this kind of stuff. So there's something to be said about that kind of that kind of life, that that's not really something to be looked down upon. Now, in Star Wars specifically, we know that that was not Luke's fate. That wasn't his destiny. His destiny was to, you know, help redeem his father, who ends up killing the Emperor and saving the galaxy, you know, for a time. You know, we won't talk about the sequel trilogy. But anyways, that's just something interesting there. I think Uncle Owen is a great character. I'll be interested to see how they portray him in this series. He always seemed like a really well-meaning dude, like, and actually somebody you like didn't want to mess with. So we'll be interested to see how that plays in throughout this series. So here's just some more Inquisitors trying to figure out the plan to destroy the Jedi. And then, yeah, they're chasing Obi-Wan across a bunch of different cities. So it sounds like he does leave Tatooine at some point. Here in this scene here is really great. You see him fighting a bunch of dudes. And you see him using a blaster, which we know that's really not his preference. And now, this is a great visual here. You see this pyramidal triangular type visuals several times throughout Star Wars. So this is going to, I think, the Inquisitor's headquarters, and it's a huge long pyramid. You know, in the Rise of Skywalker movie, whenever Kylo Ren goes to that planet of the Sith, you see him enter a building. If you look at it, it's a upside down pyramid. And then in Star Wars Rebels, they come across Darth Maul, who's in this pyramid, and there's these Sith holocrons that are pyramids. So there's a lot of pyramids associated with darkness in Star Wars. You see him fighting more stuff. And when it really gets interesting is here at the end. You start to see the arm of Darth Vader going on. You start to see his chest plate going in. And you hear his breathing. And you see Obi-Wan opening his eyes almost as if he's captured and in front of somebody that he's been brought before. And the question is that we're all wondering is that Vader? Is that Anakin? Is that his former student that he's now brought before? You know, people have a lot of mixed opinions about the series and what it'll do to the legacy of the original movies, you know, because we're made to think that Obi-Wan and Vader don't ever face off until that meeting on the Death Star. And it sounds like there's going to be a confrontation or two or something in the series between them. So we'll have to see how it all plays out and if it enhances or detracts from what's already been put down on film before. Another great thing I think we're going to see with this series is flashbacks. You know, with Hayden Christensen being back, you're not just going to throw him in the Darth Vader suit. You're going to use his acting abilities. So I'm sure we'll see some flashbacks of him and Obi-Wan. And people have even speculated, you know, Natalie Portman coming back as Padme may be something to think of as well. So some interesting stuff there. I am really looking forward to this series. And, you know, like I did with the Boba Fett series, all these episodes are going to drop on Fridays. So, you know, I normally do a short, you know, 10 to 20 minute solo episode on Mondays on a variety of topics. But, you know, for the next several weeks, those episodes will be dedicated to the prior week's Obi-Wan show. So I'll break down a lot of the elements within it, obviously the story elements themselves, but also some of the symbolism, some of the, you know, hidden messaging, some of the narratives they're trying to push, and even if there's some kind of conspiracies with what they're pushing. You know, that's what we do here. It's called Conspiracy in the Force. We're trying to look a little bit deeper into these franchises. And that's really my goal. And obviously I'll probably mix in some, you know, biblical stuff in there as well. You know, there's a this is a period of time we don't know a lot about. we know that Obi-Wan is somewhat in a period of exile. You know, he, him and Yoda are both in this period of exile. You know, I almost think of it like, you know, the biblical story of Jonah and the whale, right? Like they were tasked to do something, you know, to be good Jedi, to help the galaxy, to help the universe. They were tasked with something. They failed, spend many years in exile, and then have to come back out of that and reclaim their titles and, you know, come back to what they need to do. Similar to Jonah, you know, God told him to go to Nineveh, to preach to the and prophesy to those people there. He didn't do it. He was put into the belly of a whale. You know, that's a big thing you see in symbolism throughout a lot of Greek, Roman, Egyptian, and all kinds of mythologies. You talk about the belly of the whale. Joseph Campbell talked about it as part of his, you know, hero's journey. That's always a component of it. So that's kind of the going down to the depths, right, to the abyss, what have you. Jonah goes into that whale for a few days. God spits him back out, and then he accomplishes his mission. So that's kind of one peril I see right off the bat for both Obi-Wan and Yoda in this period is a period of contemplation. Like Jonah, when he was in the whale, he prayed that God and thanked God for saving him and that he would, you know, do whatever he could to repent of his sins. And, you know, you're going to see Obi-Wan, and you may see, I keep talking about Yoda. There hasn't been any official, you know, mention if Yoda's going to be in the series or not. I'm willing to bet that he is at some point. But you're going to see Obi-Wan really coming to terms with all of the mistakes he made. And, you know, you may also see him, you know, communing with Qui-Gon Jinn, you know, just an audio version. So anyways, interesting stuff. Like I said, I'll break that down for everybody. And we will talk about it on Monday. A few other things. I mean, this is kind of a little bit of a shorter episode. I thank everybody for listening and bearing with me. I'm not really used to doing these kind of free flow type episodes. So I hope it, I hope it went well. I mean, as you know, I'm more of a kind of a scripted type guy, unless I have somebody, that I'm interviewing or chatting with. So it'll be a bit shorter episode, but one thing I wanted to play here for you, I released my book Intergalactic Totalitarianism at the end of December. And then I released the audiobook version of it in February or March. And the response has been great. So thank you for everybody who's listened to it, who's read it. I did a promotion yesterday for a free Kindle audiobook. So thank you for everybody who took advantage of that. I do have a bunch of promo codes available for the audiobook version on Audible. If you're interested, it'll be completely free. All you have to do is download the app. And then you'll just use the promo code I can give you to listen to the audiobook for free. So I have a bunch of those codes. If anybody listening would like to take advantage of that, I'll email it. I'll send it to you to check that out. But one other thing I wanted to do, since, you know, not everybody is into, you know, actual physical novels. Not everybody's into reading on Kindles. Not everybody's into audiobooks. But one thing a lot of people do like is documentaries. So what I wanted to do was try to adapt the book into a kind of a documentary style. So what that entails is just basically taking a lot of elements from the book, adding a bunch of clips I've found from the internet and interviews with George Lucas or authors like, you know, David Icke or whoever that's talked about totalitarianism over the years and how these things slowly creep in. Obviously, clips from the movies, other podcasts, things like that, and then from my clips from my audiobook as well, and just other things I've found. Just trying to piece all this together in a linear fashion, for people who haven't listened to it or read it. So I just kind of want to provide another way for people to check out this kind of stuff. So I put together this little short. It's a little bit less than 2 minutes. It's just kind of what will be the first few minutes of the documentary. So it's just Intergalactic Totalitarianism, the documentary. Here's just a little preview for you, and then we'll sign off after that.
don't think the system works.
How would you have it work?
We need a system where the politicians sit down and discuss the problem, agree what's in the best interest of all the people, and then do it.
That's exactly what we do. The trouble is that people don't always agree.
Well, then they should be made to.
By whom? Who's going to make them?
I don't know. Someone.
You?
Of course not me.
But someone.
Someone wise.
Sounds an awful lot like a dictatorship to me.
Well, if it works.
Palpatine represents the devil. He represents the pure evil, the Dark Lord of the Sith, who is purely out to get more power.
Primarily, when you look at Episode 3, it is the story of Anakin Skywalker's fall. But one of the things I find more interesting is the whole arc of the character Palpatine and Sidious. Everybody believes it's Darth Vader, who's the really ultimate bad guy, but the guy who's truly evil is Palpatine. He has manipulated this whole saga.
Everything that has transpired has done so according to my design.
So there you have it. So that's a little teaser for that, the documentary. Should be out next month or two. I'll tell you what, putting together a documentary is a lot more work than I had, you know, thought it was going to be. You know, I've spent, you know, many, many hours, and I think I have like 8 minutes of footage so far. So definitely huge respect out there to people who have made, who have made and put together documentaries. You know, I can think of, you know, Rich Willett, you know, people like, Matt Landman, who did the Frankenskies documentary. A lot of really great work goes into that, so I'm definitely really appreciating all the work that those people have done for putting out documentaries with, you know, usable and actionable information for people to understand, you know, more about what's really going on in our world. So anyways, that's all I had for you today. I hope this went well. Like I said, I don't do these often, just a solo live stream. But so let me know in the comments or any feedback you have on social media, how you think it went. If it was good, I'll do more of these in the future. So, keep fighting the good fight out there, you know, trust in God, pray, be with your family. Understand that this world is going to get worse before it ultimately gets better when God really ends things for the good side, right? For the light side of the Force, if what have you. So thanks again for tuning in to another episode. This is Conspiracy Kyle for Conspiracy in the Force, and may the Force be with you. God bless.